Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's January 7th, 2015, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, the Paris attack. Were the gunmen part of a military organization such as ISIS, or were they sent in by a government with a professionally trained military? What they are not telling you. Up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Here in the States, we awoke to the news that there had been a terror attack in Paris, centered around Charlie Hebdo, a satirical magazine. And before we go any further in depth, let's take a look at a brief history of Charlie Hebdo.
Charlie Hebdo is a bitingly satirical magazine that does cartoons that are incredibly anti-clerical, but across the board. So they've traditionally been anti-Catholic, but, you know, in recent years, they've turned their attentions more to Islamists. And Charlie Hebdo's previous office were burned down in mysterious circumstances after it published, controversial cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad.
We now have three suspects named in the Paris terror attack: Saeed and Sharif Kouchi, both French and in their early 30s, and 18-year-old Hamid Mourad, whose nationality wasn't immediately clear, were named by two officials, according to a police spokesman in Paris. Because the masked, black-clad gunmen attacked with militaristic precision and left the scene with shouts of Allahu Akbar, the killers were suspected to be well-trained Islamic extremists, but their motive and backgrounds are still being investigated. And let me be very clear, not all Muslims are terrorists. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. It's these particular people who chose to participate in these particular actions. And if the idea of French Muslim extremists sound very skeptical to you, or make you very skeptical to hear those words, consider this. Back in, I believe it was 2012, we had the reports about how ISIS militants were being trained in Jordan. So it just shows you how far these terror cells can grow and spread. And the guys are giving me an update. They're saying that it is now confirmed that one of the suspects has been shot dead. The article, you can see it updated there on your screen, is saying that, yes, in fact, one of the suspects is dead and the other two are in custody. We'll have to wait and see as information becomes more available which suspect this was and which other two are still in custody. But now for a different aspect of this Paris shooting, we go now to Leanne McAdoo.
Before the blood even dried in today's Paris shooting, the politically correct police came out to say that those at the Charlie Hebdo magazine should have known better. A Financial Times column basically said that Hebdo was wearing too short of a skirt when they said, "This is not the slightest to condone the murderers who must be caught and punished," or to suggest that freedom of expression should not extend to satirical portrayals of religion. It is merely to say that some common sense would be useful. The AP, Guardian UK, and others also pointed out what Hebdo had done to provoke these acts. There were similar reactions when the Hebdo headquarters were bombed in 2011 after the magazine ran cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. Time condemned the magazine, saying the antics openly beg for violent responses from extremists. So apparently this is what we do now, given to fear rather than uphold our freedoms. We saw this recently when Sony pulled the interview after alleged threats by North Korea. So did those involved with the making of the interview deserve to be nuked for making fun of Kim Jong-un? And will magazines and newspapers repost these offensive cartoons as their patriotic duty, much like people were calling to watch the interview as a patriotic act? Christians didn't shoot up Hollywood for their recent portrayals of God, Noah, Moses, and others. And far from targeting Muslims in particular, Charlie Hebdo has ridiculed everyone from British people to the Pope. Yeah, those cartoons might be in bad taste, but truly free speech protects the rights of those with bad taste. If a satirical magazine is not poking fun, it's not doing its job. ISIS can post videos and pictures of beheadings on Twitter, yet we're supposed to be silent about their 7th century barbarism. Among the 10 journalists killed Wednesday was Charlie Hebdo editor Stéphane Charbonnier, who told Le Monde newspaper 2 years ago, "I'd rather die standing than live on my knees." Now is not the time to start policing our thoughts based on the whims of the perpetually offended. That is not free speech. Not only do we not negotiate with terrorists, our rights are never negotiable.
And we'll end tonight with some news here in the States. El Paso Clinic shooting victim was a VA doctor, FBI confirms. This is a shooting that happened last night. The gunman is believed to have shot himself after killing the doctor, an official confirmed to the Post. The incident at the El Paso Veterans Affairs Clinic was reported around 3:10 p.m. local time. Major General Stephen Twitty, commanding general of Fort Bliss, said Tuesday night. So it is unfortunate when these events happen here in the States, but this isn't a reason for gun control, because you can talk about this, but you can also go to places like guns.com, where I believe it was reported today how somebody drove a car to a Boost Mobile store and was trying to rob the place and got shot by the clerk. So you do have negative gun stories, but you also have positive gun stories. And coming up after this break, we'll have more news talking about terrorism here and abroad. We'll have a special report from Rex Jones, Alex's son, talking about the history of terrorism, as well as many more reports. Stay tuned.
Every year we make resolutions to lose weight and get in shape. And the truth is, it's hard, even with diet and exercise, because of toxic food and our environment that is stressing our bodies more than ever before. Working with experts in nutrition and biochemistry, I found that super high quality nutraceuticals, in addition to my diet and exercise, were the answers that synergistically worked. I can see the drastic changes every day with the amount of weight I've lost, my increased stamina, and more of a twinkle in my eye. That's why we are now so excited to launch the InfoWars Life Resolution Pack, combining three essential formulations: oxygen-based cleanser Oxy Powder, the Secret 12 bioavailable vitamin B12, and your choice of Super Female or Super Male Vitality. Now all available at a discounted price to you and your family to bring in the new year and make 2015 a true success. That's InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. 2015 is the year to do it, and it all starts at InfoWarsLife.com.
City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water.
Yeah, it does. Ugh.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Operation Gladio is an umbrella name for literally hundreds of bombings carried out by Western intelligence agencies and NATO in Italy, Western Europe, the Middle East, Latin America, and Asia. From 1947 until 1981, Italian presidents have gone public admitting Operation Gladio targeted innocent civilians and was to be blamed on leftists and communists. On November 22, 1990, the European Parliament had a resolution condemning the activities of Operation Gladio. The former Italian intelligence chief has come clean concerning Gladio's actions as well. Many other countries have declassified documents concerning Gladio. It is part of the public record that our government and other Western governments targeted trains, buses, schools. Several times, operatives zeroed in on school buses, knowing that images of dead children would get the population hopping mad and ready to relinquish their liberties. A particularly bloody bombing at the central station of Bologna, Italy, on the morning of August 2, 1980, which killed 85 people and wounded more than 200, caused some Italian officials to break their silence and begin to expose just a small part of this wicked operation.
And welcome back. We just watched Terror Storm, which is available in the InfoWars shop. Now let's take a look at government-sponsored terror, so simple that even a child can explain it.
Hello, your friendly neighborhood patriot here for an episode of How Terrorism Really Works. First off, our terrorist group needs a scary name. Can you say LCIADA? Let's try again. LCIADA. Ah, it does roll off the tongue. LCIADA. It's a perfect name. Now let's say the green piece here represents the terrorists. The terrorists then move into Pakistan or Afghanistan or whatever stan is not under anchor control. The media then joins in to hype up the terror threat.
Dry hand operates with impunity from safe havens inside Pakistan.
Once the terror threat is established, the banksters, puppets, send in the troops to take out the terrorists they put in there in the first place. Then the bankers install their own dictator to take control of the resources and oppress the people. As a bonus, the banks, via the black ops and intelligence agencies, will then ship the drugs back into the host country so they can imprison their own citizens for using the drugs, make huge profits selling the drugs which finance other terror operations around the globe, and the cherry on the top is billions upon billions made on money laundering operations for the bankers.
In a sense, you're watching as this opium is being grown. I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is a part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
And if the citizens of the host country gets wise to these schemes or gets uppity, the banks via media will hype in nuclear terror threats or an underwear bomber or a Christmas tree bomber. Any excuse to take the American people's rights. Well, that just about wraps it up for Terrorism 101, How Terrorism Really Works. I'm your friendly neighborhood patriot. And now remember what Big Brother and other authoritarians say. Whatever you do, don't visit Infowars.com. Oh no, the control freaks don't like it.
And we'll end tonight with this. Clips of Senators Ted Cruz and Rand Paul discussing how U.S. intervention has fostered much terrorism abroad.
If there is a theme that connects the dots in the Middle East, it is that chaos breeds terrorism. What much of the foreign policy elite fail to grasp, though, is that intervention to topple secular dictators has been the prime source of the chaos. From Hussein to Assad to Gaddafi, it's the same history. Intervention topples the secular dictator. Chaos ensues and radical jihadists emerge. The pattern has been repeated time and time again. And yet what we have here is a failure to understand, a failure to reflect on the outcome of our involvement in Arab civil wars. Radical jihadists have again and again filled the chaotic vacuum of the Middle East. Secular dictators, despots who frankly do terrorize their own people, are replaced by radical jihadists who seek terror not only at home, but abroad. Intervention when both choices are bad is a mistake. Intervention when both sides are evil is a mistake. Intervention that destabilizes the Middle East is a mistake. I warned a year ago that involving us in serious civil war was a mistake. That the inescapable irony is that someday the arms we supply would be used against us or Israel. That day's now. ISIS has grabbed up from the U.S., from the Saudis, from the Qataris, weapons by the truckload. And we are now forced to fight against our own weapons, and this body wants to throw more weapons into the mix. But let's not compound the problem by arming feckless rebels in Syria who seem to be merely a pit stop for weapons that are really on their way to ISIS. Remember clearly that the president and his Republican allies have been clamoring for over a year for airstrikes against Assad. Assad was our enemy last year. This year, he's our friend. Had all those airstrikes, though, occurred last year in Syria, today ISIS might be in Damascus. Realize that the unintended consequences of involving ourselves in these complicated, thousand-year-long civil wars leads to unintended consequences. Had we bombed Assad last year, ISIS would be more of a threat this year. ISIS may well be in Damascus had we bombed Assad last year. Had the Hawks been successful last year, we would be facing a stronger ISIS, likely in charge of all Syria and most of Iraq. Intervention is not always the answer and often leads to unintended consequences. But some will argue, no, it's not intervention that led to this chaos. We didn't have enough intervention. They say if we had only given the rebels more arms, ISIS wouldn't be as strong now. The only problem is the facts argue otherwise. We did give arms and assistance to the rebels through secret CIA operations, through our allies, through our erstwhile allies. We gave 600 tons, let me repeat that, we gave 600 tons of weapons to the Syrian rebels in 2013 alone. 600 tons of weapons, and they cry out and say we haven't done enough. Perhaps we're giving them to people who don't want to fight. Perhaps the fighters from ISIS are taking the weapons that we give to the so-called moderate rebels. It's a mistake to send more arms to the Syrians.
We should be focused on defending the United States of America. That's
right.
Why young men and women sign up to join the military, not to, as you note, serve as Al-Qaeda's air force.
Well, that's it for our show tonight. Be sure to stop by PrisonPlanet.tv and get a special deal on a yearly subscription. I'm Jakari Jackson from the InfoWars Command Center, and we'll see you again tomorrow night.
The Molon Lave silver coin, certified by the Provident Mint. This 1 ounce silver round is 0.999% fine silver, inspired by the legendary Spartan King Leonidas and his refusal to lay down arms in defiance of Emperor Xerxes. Molon Lave, that's Greek for come and take it. This is available now at InfoWarsStore.com. Act now as supplies are limited. And don't forget, free shipping and a free gift. That's InfoWarsStore.com.
Rob Dew here for InfoWars.com and the InfoWars Nightly News. Last week, you may have seen the report Joe Biggs and I did on the Samsung VR technology that they've just released. It works with the Samsung Galaxy phone, the Gear VR system. My intention with that was to get people talking about this new VR technology and whether it is a gateway portal into the Matrix. And I made different analogies to the original Matrix series, plus we showed a clip of Flash Gordon with the VR set actually infused into the eyes of these agents. And it was interesting. I read some of the comments. People are out there claiming that we were working for Samsung and agents of Samsung and all that, and that's nothing could be further from the truth with those statements. But a lot of people really were interested in this technology, pro and con. So it really did get the conversation started. I got an email 2 days ago, and it was from somebody that said, hey, you got to watch this Joe Rogan podcast. He talks about the stuff you were talking about, the VR technology. So I was listening to it. Incidentally, he had a transhumanist on, and this guy's running for the transhumanist presidential party. And really interesting stuff. But when he got to the part about the VR, he relates a conversation one of his friends had with him about going to a recent conference. And we'll get to that in a second. My first impression of this VR technology is that it's still in its infancy. We've just started seeing these headsets come out. But back in the 90s, actually, they started a technology called Virtual Boy, which was starting to capitalize on that. But unfortunately, you have stuff, the technology was too expensive to make on a mass production scale. Well, now you've got the economies of scale gathered in, Moore's laws in effect, and now we're seeing these sets come out for hundreds of dollars, $200, $100. They're going to be everywhere pretty soon. In 5 years, everybody's going to have their own virtual reality headset. But what does that mean? And will that take us into the Matrix? Well, Looking at the technology now, it just doesn't have the resolution that you're going to be looking for to really lose yourself into the world. It's pretty good, let me tell you. I was very impressed with just the movie theater setting of the Gear VR system. But now, they're working on 4K solutions for VR devices. And what does that mean? More resolution, which is going to allow you to lose yourself in the environment. I predict within 3 years, somebody's going to die by having a virtual reality headset on, and they're going to forget to eat, go to the bathroom, whatever, and they're going to find them dead with the headset on. I predict in 3 years, we're going to see that. I predict in 5 years, everybody's going to have one. And it's going to be just like a smartphone. Everybody's going to have their VR headset, although they won't be as big and bulky as you see them now, because as that technology gets better, it's going to get smaller, more compact, and more detail, more processing power involved in it. Case in point, there's an article in paultan.org talking about the new technologies in the automobile industry. It's called Innovation for Millions, Ford Showcases Its Technology and Highlights Australia's Changing Role. Most of the article is just talking about improvements in car technology, basic safety, different types of GPS that they're going to have, which, of course, they're going to track everywhere you go and tax you by the mile. But that's neither here nor there. That's beside the point. We're talking about VR today. What's really interesting about this is that Ford is already developing 4K-type systems for their engineers to use to actually get in and build virtual cars and look at them and see how they run. Here it is. The system employed by Ford uses a virtual reality head-mounted display identical to those used in the animation and gaming industry to provide designers and testers with lifelike experience of virtual vehicles. With the VR headset in place, users can move through the room in a manner that they can interact with the virtual vehicle the same way they would in real life. The headset even provided a view into the physical world so the user can see his or her body in relation to the virtual data. And you can see what it looks like from some of the pictures there in the article. But here's where it gets more interesting. Including a move to a new photorealistic virtual reality software, VRED, present a view in ultra-high definition, 4 times the resolution of HD. That's 4K resolution for those of you out there who aren't aware of that. And offers a high level of detail at which engineers can inspect issues that arise throughout vehicle development. In use, the system is breathtaking in scope. There's dimensionality and perspective, and level of detail on the view is astounding. I was amazed to do a walk around of a Mustang well before I eventually saw it in the metal, even managing to put my head into the engine block to view the pistons in detail, something that would not have been possible in the real world. Well, in short of a mishap at least, and I doubt I get to see that much of the point. So now this 4K technology is just starting out in its infancy. Engineers are using it. It's just a few years down the line, it's going to be in consumers' hands. And that's when I think you're going to start seeing these people immersing into these lives, into their altered lives online in gaming worlds like World of Warcraft. You could see people using this and just really immersing themselves into technology, laying back, becoming a piece of furniture, essentially, a virtual reality piece of furniture living in a world. Now, let's get back to that Joe Rogan interview. Here's Joe describing his friend who went to a virtual reality conference. When I saw this, I was totally blown away. Here it is.
There's going to come a point in time where we will be able to create some sort of a virtual life that is absolutely indistinguishable from the life that you and I are experiencing right now. If that's the case, how do we know we're not already in it? I'm sure you've messed around with Oculus Rift.
I have.
I haven't tried the new one. I tried, my friend Duncan is, he's got the old model, and now he has a new model. He has the developer's kit, and the old one I put on, it was all pixelated and weird. He went to some sort of a virtual conference that they had in Los Angeles, and he called me up just ranting and screaming, "It's over, man! This is bigger than the printing press! This is bigger than the internet! This is gonna be reality!" And he was just freaking out, so much so that I'm scared to go and try this headset on. But he was talking about going into some virtual room where there's a person playing the piano, and you interact with them and you feel like you're in the room with them. And he said it was the freakiest thing he's ever experienced in his life because it's all in like 4K, HD, super, like really, really clear video.
A couple other articles I want to mention. One from VR Focus. Oculus eye tracking might not work with Rift until 4K displays are utilized. So they're already talking about 4K too with the Oculus Rift. So it's not going to be long before they're going to be having eye tracking software installed in that one, looking at where you look and how you move, and that's how you're going to control these systems. Another article asks, why is virtual reality happening now? People have been talking about this, building devices for years. Back in the mid-90s, they even mentioned the Virtual Boy back in 95. Why are they buying the Oculus Rift now in 2015? Well, because the detail is getting there, and it's getting close to real life, and with the 3D aspect of it, it's just waiting to invite people into the Matrix. But I think being able to take off the helmet and put it down and walk away from it, that's not what the system wants. The system wants to immerse you into this world. And the way they're going to start doing it is with implants. It's going to be starting off with a chip in your hand, and then it's going to move to an implant in the back of your neck, and then maybe one behind your eye. And pretty soon, all you have to do is close your eyes and pull up a menu, and you're going to be in your virtual reality world sitting on your couch. Mark my words, it's going to happen. Here's an article from Fox News. Is there a microchip implant in your future? This is talking about those RFID little grain of rice implants that people are putting into their arms. Science fiction author Larry Nevin says this, this should be a matter of individual choice, but fighting crime should be much easier using chips. And he says that he supports chip implantation for security reasons, but says it should be an opt-in measure. That's right. They always say it's an opt-in measure at first, and then a few years down the road, now you have to take it. Now every kid that's born is going to get a chip so they can track your health history, everything about you, your location. But of course, the NSA would never use this for nefarious purposes, right? And then he ends the article with saying, well, at least it's better than having a barcode stitched into your forehead. You know, it is better than having a barcode stitched into your forehead, but not by much. I mean, it's still Big Brother coming after you. One group that is really getting into this microchip culture is the Swedes. In fact, here's some clips I'm going to show you from a TV show. They did a morning show where they got two of their hosts, or I think it was a host and a guest, to implant a microchip under their skin in the hand. The one that you've been seeing around, the Verichip, all these chip companies that are out there making these things. Now they're trying to bring it into the modern world, into the fold, make it part of the culture. Here we have the BBC article, The Rise of the Swedish Cyborgs. And all these chips are basically RFID, which is radio frequency identification chip. So the chip doesn't have a battery per se in it, but it gets its power from the different radio waves. Whenever it goes in front of a transmitter, it'll actually pick up and ping that transmitter saying, hey, I'm here. Here I am. And that's how they work. And they talk about how they have 100 people in Sweden now with them. Well, first they say it's 100, then it'll be 1,000, then it'll be 10,000. The biohacker they're interviewing, Hans Soblad, he's convinced the technology is here to stay, and he says this, then there will be 1,000, then 10,000. I'm convinced that this technology is here to stay, and we will think it nothing strange to have an implant in their hand. And what's interesting in this BBC article and other articles that I'm going to bring up to your attention is that they say, well, we do vaccinations, and that's just sort of a biohack that we're doing. So this is just a continuation of that. Years ago, there was fear over vaccinations, and now it seems perfectly normal to have cells injected into us. This is an early example of biohacking. And they also say, we've been putting chips in animals for 20 years. Now it's time for the humans. That's right, so they can track you wherever you go because you're just an animal to them. You're part of the human resource that they need to keep this planet powered and going. Here's another article. I'm among the first Swedes with a microchip. And this is Emilat Lantz. She's 25, and she got a microchip in her hand. Well, it was just last month, in fact, November 18th, 2014. I don't feel, though, as this is the future, this is the present. To me, it's weird that we haven't done this sooner, she tells the locals. This is part of the mind control to get you into it. You need to have that chip, because that's the first step of getting you in. There is evidence that the number of chip wearers in Sweden is growing rapidly, and they say right now there's 100 people. But as we've seen, that as they bump up the PR campaign of this, those numbers are going to grow and grow and grow. Here's another article out of the Singularity Hub. Summit Europe, chip implants as easy as piercings. In fact, in the video that we've been showing you of the Swedish television show, they do have a tattoo piercing artist who's actually putting the chips inside of you. Not even a medical doctor anymore will be needed to implant you with a microchip. That's where it's going to get scary. And they also talk about in this article, vaccination, for example, is a kind of technological augmentation. So be sure and get your flu shot and get your chip along with it. Here's one from MedGadget. Wireless powered implantable chip treats staph infections then dissolved once done. Sounds like a perfect weapon for the CIA, doesn't it? Dissolves once it's done, you'll never know how this person died. Of course, here they're just putting in medication to kill a staph infection. The element is energized externally using a wireless transmitter, heating up and raising the temperature of the tissue around enough to kill a bacteria. The treatment time can be controlled by deciding how long to deliver RF energy, and the silk substrate can be manufactured to dissolve at different rates to allow the implant to be tailored for different applications. So it's not just medical reasons people are going to be getting chips. They're also doing it for security reasons, to get into their house or their office. That way they don't have to use a swipe card or a key. They just wave their hand in front of the transmitter and boom, it's unlocked. Well, here's another guy. This is out of CBS News. Man becomes human Bitcoin wallet with chip implanted in his hand. The Amsterdam-based Bitcoin entrepreneur, whose real name is Martin Weissmeyer, turned himself into a real-life cyborg by having a miniature digital communications chip implanted in his hand. And he's got it hooked up to Apple Pay and numerous Android devices. And why did he do this, you ask? Well, he did it because he wanted to experiment with sorting bitcoins using subdermal implants. He said he thought it would be the holy grail of contactless payments. And in a case, it will be, unless somebody hacks the system and then is able to get in. What if they're able to get into your chip and just put a virus out there when you go past it? It does something to the chip inside of you, or it takes the money from you, or it changes the security codes, and then you can't get into your doors. This is a system that could easily be used by government officials to go after people they don't like. We've seen the IRS go after people. We've seen the Justice Department go after people. This is just another way that they can control you. And it all starts off with this VR world where they're going to tell you, by using these chips and stuff, we can immerse you in that VR world. All you got to do is hack into it, plug yourself in, and you're off to Neverland, to a place where you can fly and have the car of your dreams and have the woman of your dreams, when in real life you're sitting on a dirty old couch in your apartment because you can't afford enough to go anywhere because the dollar's lost all its value. I know it's a bleak dystopian future, but let's continue. We've been talking about this RFID technology for many, many years. Back in 2011, we ran an article, RFID Chip, Foundation of the Electronic Jail. I encourage you to read that. It's from We Are Change Holland. Here's another one we ran in 2009 off of Tech Google. The cover charge at this club, an RFID implant. And they talk about how cool and trendy it is. But what's interesting is the comment that we put at the top of the page. More blatant propaganda for total enslavement. Does anyone remember that these chips were linked with causing cancer in lab rats? Now binge drinkers are ready to become lab rats for petty convenience at a club. And then back in 2004, here's another article from PrisonPlanet.com. Baja Beach Club in Barcelona, Spain launches microchip implantation for VIP members. Baja Beach Club owner Conrad Chase wanted something unique to identify his VIP patrons. After brainstorming, he came up with the idea to implant his VIP members with a VeriChip implantable microchip. This is back in 2004. Okay, this isn't 2015. 2004, over 10 years ago. Here's how their website described the VIP area. Check this out. We have a special zone at the Baja Beach Club where only VIPs are allowed. See there? It's trendy. You can't get in if you don't have this, which has various exclusive services for these members. We are the first discotheque in the world to offer VIP VeriChip using an integrated embedded microchip. Our VIPs can identify themselves and pay for food and drinks without the need of any kind of documentation, i.e. an ID. So what does this mean to you? This VR thing is heating up. And like I said, I predict in the next 3 years you're going to have somebody die with the VR system on their head, lost in their virtual world. They've forgotten to eat, they've forgotten to sleep, they've forgotten to go to the bathroom, something's going to happen, or they're going to walk into something like a moving car or off of a building. It's going to happen. We've already seen people die from playing video games for too long, and that's just a screen in front of you that you can get up from any time. Imagine having the device over your head enclosing you and you not being able to do anything about it. Okay, and then I predict within 5 years, these things are going to be ubiquitous as cell phones. Everybody's going to have a VR system set up in their house, their own private holodeck where they can call up any activity or inspiration that they can think of. It'll be programmed in. You can download them from the web. It's going to be everywhere. And not all this is bad, I think. I think in the design realm, it's pretty good for engineers to be able to go in and look at things that might go wrong before actually building the product. So there's always something good to these new technologies. There's always something good. So I don't want to say virtual reality is bad. It is the wave of the future. It's how we use it. It's just like firearms. Okay, firearms can be used for good or evil. They're just sitting there. The VR headset is just sitting there. It's when you take it on and forget to take it off that you can get lost in the matrix. So be sure you don't do that. And please consider supporting us at PrisonPlanet.tv, where you can become a member. Right now we have a special running for $29.95, and you can share your username and password with up to 20 people. So keep all this virtual reality information in mind, and please keep sending me those tips. I really do appreciate it, especially that Joe Rogan one. It was very interesting to see his reaction to what's going to happen in this brave new world that we're entering. This is Rob Dew. Thank you very much for watching.
Every year we make resolutions to lose weight and get in shape. And the truth is, it's hard, even with diet and exercise, because of toxic food and our environment that is stressing our bodies more than ever before. Working with experts in nutrition and biochemistry, I found that super high-quality nutraceuticals, in addition to my diet and exercise, were the answers that synergistically worked. I could see the drastic changes every day with the amount of weight I've lost, my increased stamina, and more of a twinkle in my eye. That's why we are now so excited to launch the InfoWars Life Resolution Pack, combining three essential formulations: oxygen-based cleanser Oxy Powder, the Secret 12 bioavailable vitamin B12, and your choice of Super Female or Super Male Vitality, now all available at a discounted price to you and your family to bring in the new year and make 2015 a true success. That's InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139. 2015 is the year to do it, and it all starts at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.